resurrections in the Bible. Did y'all know that? Anybody know that? No. All right, I've been preaching several messages on resurrections, and this is one of the ones that I had forgotten about till a couple of weeks ago. As you turn to Revelation chapter 11, I had in my head formulated what I was going to preach on, and then I was talking to someone, and I guess I'd even standing here, I thought, oh, I forgot this one, and the more I thought about it, I thought of a couple more. We talked about the possible resurrection of Paul. The Bible does not definitely say that he was resurrected, but I think there is some evidence there. Once again, if you disagree with that, that's I don't think that's a reason for us to break fellowship. The Bible is not definite on something. We don't need to be definite on it. There is a definite answer, don't get me wrong. But sometimes the Bible doesn't, just for one reason or other, God does not share with us certain things. And we got to trust his reasoning, don't we? One of the things that we're going to look in today, God does not allow us to see. Now, people have their opinions on these things. You're more than welcome to have your opinion on it, but that doesn't mean you're right. Revelation chapter 11, we're going to read verses 3 through 13. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, if you're wondering what he's talking about there, Zechariah prophesied in chapter 4 of his prophecy, describing the two that would stand before the earth. And John is sharing with us that these are the very ones that Zechariah was talking about. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, and it rained not for in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood, or turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street in the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues of the nation shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to the heaven, up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your faithful that have come here today. We just ask that you would bless them for their faithfulness, for their attendance, and for their attentiveness. Lord, we just ask that you would use me at this time. Forgive me of my sins, and Help me to be a blessing in spite of my weakness and my inability. Lord, we just ask your blessings upon all that hear the word. We just ask that these words would come out perhaps to someone as a warning that the days are short, and that they would see the days approaching when the wrath of God, your wrath, would pour upon the earth. And that would cause them to heed your word. Trust in the Lord. Believe and be saved. Whatever is done, whatever is said, we just ask that it be well-pleasing to you and that it would bring glory to your name. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray these things, that you might receive all honor and all glory. Amen.
Amen.
Preaching this morning, the witnesses witnessed. The witnesses witnessed. All the world will behold these witnesses. All the world will hear the message of these witnesses. What will be seen as the world watches these watchmen? Zechariah, I've already said in chapter 4, spoke. That we get a great view from the book of Zechariah, but we understand that he saw this day which is, by the way, yet to come, back in his prophecy, way before John saw these things, and these things are yet to come, and yet we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that these things will happen. Now, there's lots of speculation on these witnesses. When you hear preachers and you read books and articles, and we want to look first at the person of these witnesses, the persons of the witnesses. Basically, there's a lot of, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, and I probably will spend more time than I want to, on identifying these people, because honestly, I don't think you can identify them. You can have your theories. And I believe years ago, on a Wednesday night, we were teaching on some of the speculation and some of the theories who these two witnesses are. Now, I saved this for last, but I think I'm going to bring this one first just to get it out of the way. There are some that teach, and I don't think I brought this up when I did teach on these years ago, that these witnesses, these two witnesses, are the church. And the reason why I want to bring that right up, so I want to get that one out of the way, because this is not the church. Number one, the church has already been removed. Number one, they don't know what the church is when they say that, because the church is an organized body of believers. The church is not all saved people everywhere. And if you study your Bible and you look at where the word church is used, and you the very fact that the Bible has a word called churches, which means there is not a universal church, there are individual bodies which make up churches, we understand that they don't know what they were talking about. But they try to symbolize this. And what people will do, anything they don't understand, especially in the book of Revelation, they will make it symbolic. They will make it symbolic, or they will say it's a parable. And although, and I use this example, and I've used this in front of you many times before, and if the Lord hinders his coming and these doors stay open, I'll probably use it more than once again. I used to, every time I'd hear somebody preach about the rich man and Lazarus or the rich man in hell, I would hear good Bible teaching, faithful men start out saying, "This is not a parable." And after a while, I was like, why does everybody have to say, "This is not a parable"? It's obvious it's not a parable. We every time it's preached on, we're told it's not a parable. Why do these men keep bringing up it's not a parable? And then I started hearing other people say and reading things where they called it a parable. I believe J. Vernon McGee, famous Bible teacher on the radio for years, probably still on the radio at some point. I believe he was one of the ones who said it, called it a parable. So if we don't understand something, or we don't like something, or I should say they don't like something, they call it a parable. The Jehovah's Witnesses call the rich man in hell a parable. It doesn't fit anything. Or they will say, we don't understand it, so it's symbolic. It's very clear that these were two men, two actual men standing there. The things that are said about them could not mean that it was their definition of the church, which is to save people throughout the world. This specifically happened, we can see, in Jerusalem. It said it happened where the Lord was crucified. It happened. We didn't read the first two verses there, but it speaks of the temple. The Jewish temple will be rebuilt at that time. And they will be outside the temple preaching the word of God, prophesying, preaching against the sin of the world, preaching against the Antichrist, preaching salvation through Jesus Christ. 144,000 of the Jews there will hear, 12,000 from each tribe. They will believe, they will become believers, they will continue to preach, and there will be people among the nations saved even during that time. Now, if you have heard the gospel and you're banking that, okay, I'll be saved, then the Bible says you won't be. The Bible says you will receive a strong delusion because you've already rejected the gospel. So these are two actual men. This is not what they call the church. This is not saved people preaching the gospel. Matter of fact, where will these saved people come from? Once again, there's a misunderstanding of the scripture, and a lot of people look at this and they think there's going to be a mid-tribulation rapture. The Bible is very clear that the rapture will occur prior to the tribulation period. There's a seven-year tribulation period. The first 3.5 years, there will be tribulation, but it won't be anything like that last half, which is called the Great Tribulation. The Lord's people were already gone. You'll notice in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, when God says, come up hither, you no longer see these churches, which were the subject of the first two chapters. They are not addressed again. The saved of the earth are not addressed again till the Lord comes back. And they come back with him. Now, I told you I was going to spend too much time on it, and I've only addressed the church. Let me give you some other theories. Now, these two witnesses, for some reason, people have decided that these will be people from the past that we've seen in our Bibles, we've read about in our Bibles before, that will return. I honestly don't know where they got that. I was telling a brother last night, a fellow pastor was asking me what I was going to preach, and we got on this subject, and I said, I really don't know from the Bible where they've got that they have to be. Now, I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying, people want to say it's this man or that man from the Bible. But I see no biblical evidence where it says that's what it's going to be. And as I was studying this morning, somebody, I saw something that referred to the book of Joel. I was like, well, maybe it's in the book of Joel. And I think it was chapter 2, chapter 3. And I looked through that chapter, didn't see anything. So I don't know where they got that, but there is a theory. Now, most people agree that when they take this stance, that one of those men are going to be Elijah. They always say it's Elijah and somebody else. Why is Elijah? Because Elijah did not die. He was taken up in a whirlwind. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, "And as it was appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Since he didn't meet the requirement, he has not died yet." They're saying it has to be Elijah. It says in this description of them that fire came out of their mouths to devour their enemies. In 1 Kings chapter 1, on a couple of times, Elijah brought fire. It didn't come out of his mouth, but he brought fire down from heaven and consumed his enemies. And then in 1 Kings chapter 18, he's on Mount Carmel. He brings fire down and burns up the wet wood there on the altar that he had built to God there on Mount Carmel. Says they had the power to shut off the rain. We know that Elijah prayed and it did not rain. Now, rather than looking to where that happened in 1 Kings, I'd like to look at the book of James where he talks about it. James 5:17. It says, "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are." In other words, he was just like us. He had the same problems as us. He had the same fears as us. He had the same shortcomings as us. He had the same good qualities as we may have. It says, "He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." So these witnesses will have the power for them to shut up the heaven and it will not rain. Not only that, how long did Elijah, when he prayed, how long did it not rain? 3.5 years. These men that preach, they will shut up heaven and will not rain for 3.5 years. But notice what James says. He said he's a man just like we are. So it doesn't have to be Elijah. Any of these people that I talk about did not do this under their own power. Elijah, the miracles he performed, I believe we said a few weeks ago, what was it we said? He had performed 8 miracles that are recorded in our Bible. Elijah did not perform the miracles. God performed miracles through Elijah. The only one who really had the power to perform miracles on the earth was Jesus himself. Amen. Anyone else, when they performed a miracle, whether it was one of the apostles, whether it was one of the prophets, whether it was Moses or whoever it was, performed them under the power of God. So yes, he was able to call down fire. He was able to shut up the rain. But God could do that with anyone. Elijah was one of the ones that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was up there. And it was Peter, James, and John. They not only went fishing, they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and they witnessed this event where Jesus was transformed. Elijah and Moses. Now, they didn't have a picture of Elijah and Moses. They'd never met Elijah and Moses, but they knew that it was Elijah and Moses that they witnessed there on the mount. And they were having a conversation with the Lord, and people want to speculate on that. Maybe they were talking about what was going to happen there, you know, in the book of Revelation chapter 11. Maybe they were talking about it. We don't know. But in any event, he was one of the ones on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it's been said they represented the law and the prophets between them. We have the prophecy in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And just in case you're not familiar with that, says, "Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, and lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now when Jesus came, didn't they question him? Then the disciples question him and say, doesn't the Old Testament, didn't Malachi say that before the Messiah would come, before the Lord would come, Elijah would come? What was Jesus' reply? He said, Elijah's already come in spirit and they've rejected him. And they knew that he was referring to John the Baptist. So people will say, well, he was just referring to John the Baptist. But notice what Malachi said. He said it was before the dreadful day of the Lord, which is coming yet to come. Yes, Elijah came in spirit in the form of John the Baptist, but that does not preclude that he could come physically and be one of the witnesses. So if you're saying Elijah already came, yeah, he came in spirit, but he's perhaps going to come physically. It could be Elijah. The next one I want to talk about is Enoch. And oh boy, we're really going to be pressed on time here. Enoch. Once again, Enoch did not die. The scripture said he was walking with the Lord, and he was not, because God took him. He took him straight into heaven. Once again, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. This was the first person I ever heard when I heard about the two witnesses when I was a kid, because my mother went to Cincinnati Baptist Bible College, and one of her teachers was an Enoch man. So he taught them that one of them is going to be Enoch. Could it be Enoch? It could be Enoch. Doesn't have to be, though. In Jude chapter 1, verse 14, that it says that Enoch prophesied that the Lord would come with 10,000s of saints. So Enoch had the ability to prophesy. He was able to see this time, which is being revealed in the book of Revelation. He was translated before the flood. In other words, before the judgment, we always had the flood as a picture of the judgment of God coming upon the earth, which we will see, or we won't see, we'll perhaps see from heaven, but we see in the Bible that it will occur after God takes his people away. The wrath of God is going to come down during the great tribulation period, the last 3.5 years. Prior to the coming of the Lord. We've got Moses. We've got Moses. Now, verse 6 there says what these men were able to turn water to blood. Once again, who did that before? It was Moses. There in Egypt, he turned the water to blood. But once again, it wasn't Moses. It was God using Moses. If I write out something, if I write, you write something down, you say, well, Keith wrote this. Well, you say, well, no, the pen wrote it down. It was me using the pen. Moses was the instrument that God used to turn water into blood. It speaks of the plagues, does it not? When we think of plagues, we think of Moses and the 10 plagues.